What did the Raptors do to make John Wall disappear?
Well, I think it was a combination of a couple things, Jeff. You know, and I asked Dwayne that after the game. One, I think Kyle shook off some of the rust in the first half and really went at him. And that put Wall back on his heels. And then they talked about the way they played the screen roll stuff out top. And normally it's, for me, I come back and have a look at the game when it's all done. I have yet to do that yet as I'm in the middle of my Chicago prep. But it sounded like they used the big guys to help, you know, put them off course a little bit more. Make it more difficult for him to get to the basket, although Wall was making the jump shot last night, and that's the key. If he starts making that jump shot, the way he can break you down off the dribble and get past you, he's virtually impossible to stop. And in the first half, he made the jump shot. Second half, not so much, and I have to think it was because of what they did, the defense, and as Dwayne said, the way they used the big guys to help out.
Paul Jones joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. The Chicago Bulls present a different challenge than the Washington Wizards, don't they? And yeah. And I mean, look, Tom Thibodeau is just such a good defensive-minded coach. My sense tonight, Jonesy, is Jonas Valanciunas better buckle it up, because this is going to be a tough game tonight. This is a game where they need him.
Well, yeah, and you know, Jeff, if there's one team, I mean, Chicago's in the four hole right now, but if there's one team that you don't want to see, there's two, actually. I think Brooklyn is one with their experience and their playoff savvy, although they're still not playing that well, and the other is Chicago. Again, it's because of the defense and the way they play. You know, they grind you. It's slow. It's methodical. You know, a 4 or 5 point lead in a game that's that slow pace could be 10, 12 points at times, or feel like 10, 12 points. And if you play them in the playoffs, heck, if you play them in the regular season, you got to be prepared to win a game in the, you know, in the 80s, in the low to mid 80s, a high 70s even, the way they play. So it will be a test for Toronto. The last few games, I'd say the last maybe 3, 4, there's been a lot of up and down. Even last night, it was only eighth time all year Toronto had won when a team shot better than 45% against them. You know it's going to be a lot of grinding against Chicago. So I think it'll be a test, and I think it'll really kind of get the Raptors' attention, and something that Dwayne Casey's been talking about, that's playoff basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to win games in the 80s, and it's important for your big people you know, to play well, to give you offense, to protect the rim. So you're right. Jonas is going to have to come tonight, and he's got some guys on the other end that are pretty good. Joakim Noah is one of my favorite players in the NBA.
Oh, yeah, I know why. You and I both know why. The music.
Aside from his warm-up music, which is all Bob Marley, Jamaican reggae-based. But the kid just, he's one of those. I heard you talking this morning, Jeff, about Canada-Latvia. You don't care who gets goals. Who cares if Crosby gets going? Just win. And that's Noah's attitude. It's not a beauty contest. He doesn't care, you know, who gets the glory. He's the kind of kid, hey, if you need him to rebound, he'll rebound. If he's got an open shot, he'll take it, he'll make it. He's a terrific passer for a big guy up there. I just like his game. It's going to be a good test for Jonas tonight.
Paul Jones joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Jonesy and Eric will have the call of the game as the Raptors play the Chicago Bulls tonight. Tip-off at 7 o'clock from the Air Canada Center. So DeMar DeRozan comes back from the All-Star break, and I'm led to believe sort of marshals the forces before the game. DeMar's an interesting guy from the outside, Paul, because when you talk to him, he's a pretty sincere guy. You know, he's not going to say stuff for the sake of saying stuff. When he says something that's pointed, there's usually a pretty good reason for it. How important do you think his role is going to be going forward? You know, initially, as far as being that vocal guy, because look, if this season goes the way we think it's going to go, the way we hope it goes, there are going to be a lot of nights where he's going to have to step up and say something as well as do something.
Yeah, you're right, Jeff. I thought it was interesting that in the first meeting, the first time they reconvened after the All-Star break, he wanted to speak to the team. And the All-Star game, when you're selected and you go and players have told me, you're sitting there with the best of the best, and it's kind of hard to believe at times. And then you start looking around the room and you feel like you belong, and you start looking at, well, what they would call in business best practices, what works and what really doesn't. And for a guy like DeMar, things that he thought, LeBron James or Paul George or Dwayne Wade or some of these other guys did with their teams to make them good, I'm sure he got reinforcement and reaffirmation when he went to the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes back and he starts talking to his team the same way. You know what? I knew this is what, the great players have done. I've watched it, and now I'm going to do it for my team. John Wall and Bradley Beal talked about the same thing yesterday morning in Washington. So, as Dwayne Casey said, though, talk is good, but if you're not going to back it up with your play, then it doesn't mean anything. It's hollow.
Paul Jones joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. We're approaching the trade deadline. What do you expect to see from Masai Ujiri?
Unless something really improves his team in the long run, I don't expect to see much.
The Rondo stuff just doesn't. There's too much involved, isn't there?
Well, and is that just a regular call to say that somebody is made to him, or he's made to somebody to say? And we know those happen all the time, Jeff. Mm-hmm. What would it take to get this guy? And that could be the end of the conversation. But it gets out, or, as one NBA executive called me last week on the Thursday of the break, there's a lot of people out there trying to drag other people into deals.
Absolutely. There always is.
Yeah, Team A wants a player from Team B, but they don't have all the assets, so they recruit a Team C or a Team D, and they say, hey, if you're willing to give up, this pick and that guy, would you take so-and-so from such and such a team and this guy from my team? And the guy says, well, maybe. I don't know. I'll think about it. And then he goes back, the guy on Team B that's doing the recruiting goes back to Team A and says, hey, I've talked to Team C. Are you interested in maybe getting this guy and that guy or that pick from them? And now you've got, a deal maybe starting to percolate. And I think that's the kind of stuff that happens. So it's not necessarily the two teams involved. It could be a third team. And the other part of that too, Jeff, if you're Toronto, why would you weaken your team now?
Yeah.
Why don't you wait, play it out, see what happens at the end of the year. See what the demand is out there for a guy like Lowry. Or how do you know somebody doesn't come asking for other parts and you're able to move them and package them? I just think, and I've said this all along, Masai Ujiri is a patient guy, and he's not going to rush stuff, and you will see him do stuff for the long term, and it will be dictated by his patience, not rushing and racing into stuff. And, Jeff, the old adage, deals that are rumored rarely happen,
right?
And deals that happen are rarely rumored.